This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chips. McLaurin, top of your screen. Looking that way, the throw, and Terry McLaurin has his second touchdown catch of the day with a head shaker against Deontay Banks.
The quarterback and the number one receiver on the team seem to have built some pretty good rapport with one another, don't you think? 9 games into the season. The best part, Denton, of that touchdown right before the end of the first half that gave Washington a 2-touchdown lead is that the plays before that one were just to get in better field goal position. You know you're pretty damn good on offense when you're not even trying to score a touchdown, but you do anyway. Good morning, everybody. Washington is 7-2 for the first time since 1996, following their 27-22 win yesterday in Jersey over the Giants. That 1996 team was coached by Norv Turner, quarterbacked by Gus Frerotte. They were playing in their last season at the venerable RFK Stadium. That team fell to 7-2. They didn't win to get to 7-2. They were actually 7-1, and then they lost in blowout fashion in Buffalo in Week 9. But enough about that team. That team didn't have what this one does. This one is a juggernaut offensively with one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL playing for it. Yesterday's win completed the sweep over the Giants, kept them a half game ahead of surging Philadelphia, whose coach did his best, to give a game away yesterday against Jacksonville, got bailed out at the end. The win over the Giants, by the way, sets up a crucial 2-game stretch, probably the most crucial 2-game stretch of the season. The Steelers in town Sunday, and then 4 nights later at Philadelphia, November 14th, in what will be the first of 2 monumental games in not just the NFC East, but in the NFC this year. The win yesterday, you know, was overall impressive, but there were flaws exposed. Weaknesses exposed. The defense did not play well yesterday for the most part. We didn't see a lot of evidence of the defense, being what it was in previous weeks against Chicago and the week before against Carolina. And my reluctance to sort of crown it as a new defense, as a defense that's reached average or maybe above average, was, I think, justified watching the game yesterday. They are far from perfect on that side of the ball. And it'll probably matter at some point. But right now, Washington, with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, is so good on offense that they don't have to be great on defense. This is 2024. Offense, great offense, trumps great defense. When you have great offense in 2024, you're going to win a lot of games, which is what's happening right now. They scored on five of essentially seven possessions in the game yesterday. That eighth possession was a possession where they went 69 yards, nine plays, and ate up the entire remainder of the clock. It was one of those games, and they've played in several of them this year, in part because they don't punt, and sometimes their opponent doesn't punt much either. It was fast-moving. It was low possession count. But their offense just doesn't get stopped. And here's the best part of it. They don't stop themselves. It's flukish when they punt. Listen to some of these numbers. They lead the league in the fewest punts per game. You know, also fewest punts per drive. Different stat, right? Fewest punts per game. But the more crucial one is, what percentage of the time do you punt based on the drive? They have the fewest punts per drive average in the league. And it's not because, you know, some teams, well, they didn't punt because they turned it over. Or they didn't punt because they went for it on fourth down and got stopped. Not this team. You know, two more made fourth down conversions in the game yesterday. They're now 11 for 11 on the season. They lead the league. They have not been stopped on fourth down yet. They also lead the league in fewest turnovers. Three turnovers in nine games. I think I saw this tweeted out. I want to give it proper credit. I think it was Keim. I think Keim was citing Next Gen or PFF or Elias or somebody like that. Somebody credible anyway. But the three turnovers, it was kind. The three turnovers in the first nine games of an NFL season are the fewest since 1933. That's the first year, by the way, turnovers were tracked. Their points per drive leads the league. Their points per play are top three in the league. Their plays per drive lead the league. Their punts per drive, I've already said this one, are the fewest in the league. They lead the league with the fewest three and outs. They did have two yesterday. They lead the league with the with their average yards per drive. It's over 44 yards per drive now. It's the most in terms of average in the first 9 weeks of a season ever. They don't get stopped. They're the most productive offense in the league. They're the fourth highest scoring team in the league behind Detroit, Baltimore, and believe it or not, Tampa Bay. But their points would be higher per game if they got more opportunities. You know, they don't have a lot of drives per game because they keep the ball and their opponent tends to keep the ball when they have it. Washington also only has eight takeaways defensively in nine games. How about add a few more takeaways and they would be the leading scoring team in the league? The Lions have 16 takeaways. Washington in nine games times four quarters a game. They have not yet played an overtime game. They've played 36 quarters. They have scored points in 34 of those 36 quarters. The only two they did not score points in, the first quarter of the opener against Tampa Bay and the fourth quarter of the Cleveland game when they were up 34-6 and took their foot off the pedal. The offense is just so good. Cliff Kingsbury is excellent. The supporting cast is decent, but let's not sugarcoat this thing. The reason more than any other that Washington, you could argue, is the best offensive team in the NFL is the quarterback. I mean, it's a broken record every week now, but it was another incredibly good, productive, excellent day for Jaden Daniels. Another A performance for the quarterback. 15 of 22 for 209 yards, two touchdowns, both of them to Terry McLaurin. No interceptions, no sacks. You know, keep in mind he got sacked five times in week two against this defense. This defense is a top 10 pressure defense, the Giants were. I'm going to get to Jaden's game in more detail, give you the plays that I liked the most, some that I didn't like, when I get to my game take. But right now, Jaden Daniels in terms of the whole package, thrower from the pocket, creator outside of it, is an elite quarterback. The list includes Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Jaden Daniels. You know, you could argue, I guess, Joe Burrow. You know, you could argue a couple of others in terms of talent, but right now, in the league in 2024, those are your top four quarterbacks. And yes, I'm very aware that Patrick Mahomes statistically is not one of the best four quarterbacks, but stats tend to lie, or they can lie. If you've watched Kansas City and you've watched Mahomes when they've needed him to make a throw or make a play with his legs, he's done it. And that's why they're undefeated and they're 9-point favorites to remain undefeated tonight on Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jaden is in the class with the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I personally would not pick him over Pat Mahomes. I probably wouldn't take him over Lamar Jackson right now. But you could certainly make the case he's third. Josh Allen may be the front runner for the MVP with Lamar Jackson, but Jaden Daniels is climbing that list. We'll look at the odds a little bit later on. I'm sure he moved up a little bit closer to the three quarterbacks that I've mentioned. You know, if you put Mahomes, and I think I would, this is me, I'd put Mahomes as the best quarterback on the planet and has been for a while. I don't care about the numbers. I watch him play. He makes the plays when he has to make the plays. And let's face it, in the last few regular seasons, it's almost like he's been bored during some of these games. You know how he will play when they have to have it in the postseason. Mahomes is number one for me. And then after that, it's a debate as to who I'm taking. Jaden's in the conversation. You know, Jaden is in that conversation because the elite quarterbacks that I just mentioned do two things at a higher level than any other quarterbacks do. Again, you can make the case for Burrow and a couple of others, you know, pushing that tier of behind Mahomes. When it's there, they take it, and they take it at a very high productive level. And when it's not there, they make something good happen with creativity, with mobility. I was talking about this last night after the game and just in watching him as a scrambler. I think he might be the best scrambler of the four. Now, that's saying a lot because of what Lamar Jackson is as a scrambler. But the combination of his quickness, his quick body wiggle ability. Did you see the safety off the edge that just whiffed because of just a quick, you know, juke? His vision, his speed and quickness combined, they're two different things. His decision making. I think you're looking at one of the great scramblers we've ever seen in the NFL. Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick, Steve Young, Lamar Jackson. Jaden led the league in scrambling yards coming in. The designed and option runs are a big part of what he does, but he's just so, so elusive when there's pressure. You can't get to him. You've got to really swarm somehow, or you got to get him to make almost a bad play. His decision-making is so good for a rookie quarterback. He has 2 interceptions in 9 games. And it's not because he's gotten lucky. You know the PFF stat that we've referenced the last couple of years, turnover-worthy throws, because Sam Howell and Taylor Heineke had a lot of them. Carson Wentz, I think, had a lot of them. He's third in the fewest turnover-worthy throws in the NFL, according to PFF, coming into yesterday. I don't think he had any others. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way. He only puts it where his guy can catch it. He does not make bad decisions. You know, inside the pocket, in timing, outside the pocket, off timing, off platform. I mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago because I played the soundbite from Dan Quinn. Quinn said a few weeks ago, it's not just the way he's throwing it or the way he's running it. He's playing quarterback. He's playing the position at a high level. That's what's so remarkable about a player 9 games into his career. You'd think you're watching a guy that's a 4th or a 5th or a 6th year pro. We didn't have to wait for this. He's great already. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL already. And what that does is it gives every other part of this football team margin for error. Not in every game it won't, okay? So there are some games that they're going to play. Next two are crucial. Next two will be big-time tests. And certainly when they get to the postseason, if they have to face a Detroit or a healthy San Francisco, you know, there will be less margin for error in the other areas of the team. But when your quarterback is this good, you do have margin for error in most games. Not a great day yesterday on defense. Not a big deal, 27-22. Not a great day on defense on Monday night against Cincinnati. 38-33. Not a great day week two against the team you played yesterday. That's all right. Won that game by 3. Not a great day against maybe the best team in the league, certainly one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the league, Baltimore. You didn't win the game, but you had a chance to win the game when it wasn't a good day on defense. This team is right now a team that offensively is so good and the quarterback is so good that it's now a given, as long as he's upright and healthy, that you're going to win 11 or 12 games this year. It'd be hard not to. That's where we are. You know, of course, you know, they have to take it one game at a time, one play at a time, all the cliches. And they are true in the NFL, which is a massive, over the years, week-to-week league. Things change so dramatically, especially when you don't have the quarterback. But the quarterback makes this team hell to deal with the rest of the way and very dangerous when it gets into the postseason. You know, it's like we really have to kind of wrap our minds around this. It's hard to do because we've been so far away from it for so long that it just didn't seem like it would ever happen to this particular franchise, this particular fan base. It was always, you know, got the wrong guy here, got the wrong guy there, got the wrong front office, got the wrong staff, you know, big promisers, massive under-deliverers, didn't even have a chance to mask how, you know, incompetent the franchise was by stumbling on to a quarterback, just never did. It's the quarterback. It's the offense right now, and he is leading it. He's having, right now, the greatest rookie season in the history of the league at the position. And he's elevating everybody around him. This is, right now, legitimately a 7-2 football team that feels even better. Like, it's almost impossible for me to think that the offense isn't going to play well or that he's not going to play well. Like, aren't you expecting now when you turn on the game or you're at the game that the offense is going to move the ball on every drive and he's going to make big play after big play? So, so much fun to watch. But even if you're just an NFL fan and not a Washington fan, you can objectively watch this team and say, this team is impossible to defend with him at quarterback. Pittsburgh gets the next chance to do it. And they are, you know, very good on defense. This will be the best test defensively for Washington this year. Cleveland's defense was outstanding, but because they were so incapable offensively, the game just never was close enough context-wise for the defense to be great throughout. Pittsburgh's been rolling offensively with Russell Wilson at quarterback. They can run the football with Najee Harris. They have a really good weapon in Pickens. And they got T.J. Watt. You know, Miles Garrett, Dexter Lawrence, they've played some really good defensive players this year. And they've beaten them. T.J. Watt can wreck a game like, you know, a few of the players that they've played. But this is a massive test. And that team's coming off a bye. That team's playing well. That team will, to a certain extent, we know this, invade Landover on Sunday. I mean, Chicago had a lot of their fans in the building. It takes a while to weed this problem out, you know, because nobody knew before the season started. Nobody knew when they started selling tickets for 2024 that the quarterback was going to have an historic season, or certainly start to a season, and that the team was going to be a legitimate NFC championship contender. Legitimate. And a team that was going to have a chance to win the most games it's won since 1991. They may crush that this year. So Pittsburgh's going to have a lot of those terrible towels waving. There will be. This is going to be a scene Sunday in Landover. It's the best game on the NFL card. It's not Eagles-Cowboys. The Cowboys, as their own quarterback said yesterday, we blank and suck. Yeah, Dak said that on the sideline. Camera caught it. And he's not wrong. This is a two-team race. Pittsburgh, Sunday. And then four nights later, Philadelphia. The most important two-game stretch this team's had in terms of like legitimate feeling like you are in a heavyweight matchup. Two of them back-to-back in a long time. Washington, by the way, a 2.5-point favorite right now against Pittsburgh. All right, I got a game take to get to. What I liked, what I didn't like. One of those games that had kind of a lot of in-between. Not sure loved it, not sure hated it, but they were observations worth noting and worth describing. I'll get to all of that. Denton will give me his biggest takeaways from the game yesterday when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.